Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running the design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters.
Well, welcome. We've got a room full of literally PowerPoint presentation experts. I'm very excited about this. We're at the 2019 Presentation Summit. We are in San Antonio, Texas, and we do not actually have a conversation flow topic, everything else, but Nolan is going to introduce it right now.
I'm going to introduce the topic we don't have, which is, so we have, let's set the scene here. We've got like 15, 20-ish people 20-ish, okay, around the table from all over the world. We've had some people where I'm sandwiched between a whole bunch of Brits here. So you will hear lots of different, you'll hear lots of different voices. So it's day two or two and a half. It's kind of a weird, we had a lot of wrap up. So I think we're going to go, maybe we'll go over some highlights as we go around, everybody will introduce themselves briefly. Just tell us sort of where you are. And then do we want to do that up front or do we want to?
No, as everybody talks.
As we go around.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
as you jump in. So let's just give a little rundown of what's going on. I said it's kind of day two or a half or whatever because it kind of started on Saturday. Today's Tuesday. Monday. Today's Monday. It's kind of started on Saturday with Echo giving the first kind of official session, which was a guild certification course. It was a full day, right?
Yeah, give us the rundown.
Echo
on that.
Echo ran it. Who else was in it? Steffi and Glenna. So tell us what that was all about, Echo.
Hi, this is Echo, and I was, leading the first ever certification preparation workshop. So the Presentation Guild has finally launched its first certification program. Thank you, Glenna. Thank you, Steffi, for all your hard work on that. You guys rock. Woohoo! Couldn't have done it without you. So we launched our certifications last week, and we did our first prep course this week. So there were a lot of PowerPoint geeks in the room. 19, we couldn't believe it. So yeah, critical mass was about 3. We kept thinking we need about 3 or 4 people to make sure that this thing goes. We'll cancel it if we don't need to, if nobody signs up. And then, all of a sudden we had 19 people.
So it was like an SAT prep course in a way?
Kind of like an SAT prep course, exactly. So we sat in a room and geeked out about PowerPoint for a day.
Awesome.
It was really awesome. We got a lot of good feedback. We have a lot of good ideas for future. I'd consider it a success, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yay.
It was good.
Now when do those folks take the test? When do those folks take the test? They're just available?
They can take it whenever they want. Yeah, we told them not to take it this week. There's too much going on.
Right, so that's a reminder. It's available now. What's the four guild members and non-guild members?
It's available for guild members and non-members. So, Glenna, you want to talk to that?
Who are you?
Go ahead. This is Glenna. Sorry. It is available to everyone. Anyone can take it as long as you meet the requirements. There is a prerequisite that you have to have 6 months experience and 1,000 hours of presentation craftsmanship. Well, all we require you to do is to attest to that. And really the reason why we decided to go ahead and go with that, just letting folks attest to it, because if you don't have that experience, you're not going to pass the test. I mean, it just is what it is.
That's good for them to know.
Well, there's the blunt answer there.
But we have already had, I think some of our cert prep folks have taken the practice test with some mixed results.
Who's gotten the highest score so far?
He asked me that, and I don't know. And I don't think I'd tell you either.
Well, don't tell me who, but what is the highest score?
It doesn't.
Richard actually scored higher than myself, so I'm already,
Who else scored higher?
Oh, well, and I think one of Richard's staff
for those
did,
who couldn't hear that was Lori.
And apparently my wife scored much higher than I did.
What's the highest score? Not who.
Yeah, right.
Do you know the
highest available option?
Well, the highest possible score is 100%, and there were some people who scored 100%.
Oh, ooh. Nice. Really? So you only need 80% to pass, and if you want to learn more about certifications, you can go to presentationguild.org, hit the certifications page. There's a lot of information, links to purchase the exams, etc.
Well, also, the true thing is it's a pass fail test. It doesn't matter what your score is, as long as you pass it.
See, if you it doesn't matter.
If you pass it, you get the badge and the certificate, which is what matters.
Perfect.
Okay, so maybe I can transition this because I'm going to turn it over to Sandy here. So our we had the guild certification on Saturday, which is pre-presentation summit. And on Sunday, there was a number of, what do we call the Sunday courses before I
crash came? Courses.
We had a number of crash courses. I didn't crash any of them. I heard phenomenal things. And then we had the Presentation Guild annual meeting. So I'm just going to throw it out there in case you haven't heard, because this is going to release next Tuesday, which means I have a lot of editing to do on the airplane. timing is just perfect. We had a couple of announcements here. The first one was Echo's announcement, and the second one was Sandy's announcement. I thought they were pretty big and cool about the whole thing. Echo is no longer going to be president of the guild, but founding queen of the whole thing.
She was not impeached. She voluntarily stepped aside.
Voluntarily stepped aside because this lovely woman to my right, who I'm sliding this microphone over to, is going to say hello and introduce the new president.
Hi there. This is Sandy. You guys know me. Yes, we announced.
You're the new president.
Yes, I am, but not until January 1.
Oh, I didn't know that detail.
That's right.
That's when the inauguration ball will be.
Exactly. We're having, I'll give a State of the Union, you know, the whole thing.
No, our bylaws say that we have to do elections once a year and a third of our board steps down. Mm-hmm. And so it made sense because we're moving into an era where we need someone who is managerial and organized and ready to move us forward. And Sandy is that person. So it's good.
I guess that's good. No, Echo is not leaving.
I'm not going anywhere.
We cannot let her go. But the cool thing is with the election of the new board members, we have a nice long transition period of October, November, December, 3 months, so they can kind of get used to us. And
vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. One of our new board members is here.
Introduce yourself.
Go ahead.
There, on yellow.
Okay, so this is Tom Howe from Synapsis Creative, based in Sydney, Australia. I'm pretty delighted to join the board of the Presentation Guild. That's it, really. I'm pretty stoked.
Welcome.
Thank you.
That was his entire campaign right there. I'm just stoked to join.
And can we talk about the scholarship?
I think that's pretty, yeah.
Sandy, what do you want to explain that?
So we... In addition to not letting her go,
I'm dead.
we've introduced the Jules. You might have to help me here. Echo Swinford Honorary Scholarship. Yes, which will be awarded annually to a deserving Presentation Guild member.
It's a good certification. I am officially certified, which is very, very exciting. I'm certified.
You're certifiable.
That was not my wife that said that. So two calls of business here. One, we're only here for 3 more days, and there is a full refrigerator there and a full refrigerator in there. So everybody, please grab a beer or something because it has to disappear. And two, to transition this, Nolan, maybe we should talk about this was day one.
Yeah, let's go. So you're right. So we had Saturday, we had Sunday, we had some crash courses, the guild thing, and then I had my session Sunday night,
which was phenomenal.
Yeah, there again, for those who have not come here, there's something every hour of the day. Like it's just one thing to the next to the next to the next to the next. So Sunday night, I hosted the Entrepreneurs Roundtable, which I do every year. It's one of these unofficial, we all just bring chairs around the couches and drink beer and
You're making it sound small. I have photos. There was over 60 people there. Phenomenal. Yes.
Okay. So we had about 60 people late night, like went to about 11 o'clock or so. And it just becomes a freewheeling discussion about the business of presentation design.
I would show up just for that conversation personally at this stage. It was phenomenal.
Actually, this year I think was really good. We had a lot of new people. We had about half new people, I think, almost, and a lot of the people around here. So we're just, we're sharing information about contracts and procurement and getting paid and finding freelancers and taxes. Well, that's my thing. But
if you're listening, California,
just the IRS listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Being so, based in California, we may have had comments on that.
Yeah. So what else did we talk about? What else came up?
Well, there was a lot of procurement discussion. you know, who we have to talk to get paid. What other topics came up? There was the conversation about how you actually structure your estimates without, you know, kind of sight unseen, like what's a 30 slide estimate going to be, you know, 30 slide project. I need this and that. And it was great to get at least a dozen different opinions on that one little topic right there.
Yeah. And if we're talking trends, I'm kind of going to say this is a trend, but it might, presentation pricing might be becoming more transparent. Do we, some of the people around the table agree with that?
Yeah. Well, Tom launched that quote app.
Yeah.
And Richard, who's next to us, do you want to talk about?
Yeah, Richard, can you give us a quick 30 second, like, here's what we do for our, what you basically said last night about how you do your pricing availability, and Tom, can you tell us about that app?
This is Richard Goring from Bright Carbon. We are a presentation agency and put all of our stuff online, largely because we didn't have salespeople. So it's just much easier. One of the nice things about the Entrepreneurs Roundtable session yesterday was just how open it is. So you've got a lot of people in a room that are all running presentation agencies, or they're all kind of independent contractors and stuff, technically competitors, but it doesn't happen. And one of the really lovely things I loved about that session, but also about the guild and the presentation summit, is that everyone just works together. It's really collaborative, really kind of engaged. And so it's sharing lots of things. We have our pricing on our website, just because it's very easy. Tom from Synapsis Creative has a wonderful pricing model there. You can go in and you can kind of choose what you want. And a lot of people are now maybe thinking that's a good way to do it, so you can see what's going on. So really kind of accessible for people. Just it's reducing a barrier to entry for people.
This is Julie Terberg with Terberg Design. You know, we always say that we're always friendly and we all get along. We're competitors, but don't you think that there's way more than enough work to go around? Yeah. And I think that's why we probably don't feel as, it's not a cutthroat kind of a thing, because there's so many people in need. There's so many companies in need of good presentation folks that, yeah, there's enough work to go around.
There's a really good quote that a rising tide lifts all the boats.
Yep.
And I think as a group, we are encouraging the tide to rise rather than trying to just lift our own boats. And I think that's a really important aspect of what we represent as an industry, what we represent as a group. So I think the transparency that we all have, we're all saying, what does your boat look like? How do you sail your boat? We're all rising on the tide. But I think understanding how we're all kind of working gives us all a really good insight into sort of how we structure.
And that competitive thing as well is, we very rarely come across competitive pitches. You know, it's kind of, it's really uncommon. And honestly, when we do, it's the WPP's kind of huge advertising agencies as well. It's very rare that we'll come across anyone that's kind of in this room or in this group or in the guild and stuff.
Or we work together.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Could you repeat what you said last night about if somebody calls you?
So I always ask my clients, I ask them what's their budget, what's their timeline, and I try to ask them who else they're talking to. And a lot of, like, every now and then I'll be like, they'll be like, oh, I'm talking to Sandy Johnson and Julie Terberg and you. I'm like, oh, let me just call them. We'll give you a joint proposal. That literally happened.
Just one other thing you might get from this conversation, that it's all about kind of business stuff, but actually maybe half of the people there were from kind of agencies. A lot of people at the Entrepreneurs Roundtable were also new, interested in wanting to become it, or they are kind of just starting out. So again, a lot of conversations there about how do you deal with the client when the client's been difficult. They say they want this and you know that it's not very good. So again, sharing those kind of best practices about, well, this is how you can engage with people and you can educate them at the same time as giving them that service. And again, lots of different insights that will it was a phenomenal session. I really enjoyed it. As Troy said, well worth coming just for that.
And a couple of years ago, Julie Terberg, who's sitting next to me, gave me a quote, which at the time I thought was really appropriate. She said, working with people like all of you just spoils you for real life. But now, 3 or 4 years later, what we're actually doing is changing real life, I think.
Please introduce yourself so we know who to attribute that to.
Go ahead.
Sorry? Introduce yourself.
Sorry,
so we know
I'm John Wilson. I'm a programmer from the United Kingdom. So in a sense, I'm not a designer or PowerPoint presentation, but recently that has changed in my life because my wife, who doesn't consider herself a presenter at all, has been presenting probably two or three times a week on a project we're working on. And she's really good.
I bet she is, actually.
Oh, even better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm terrified. She's terrified, she said.
You're going to rock it.
She says she's terrified.
All right, so that was Sunday night.
That was Sunday. Yeah, we should move into it. Well, just to set the stage here, we have a fairly large suite room, and we have far exceeded the number of chairs in here, which is awesome. And I feel really bad for everybody standing around. That black microphone can be extended and handed off if needed, and so can the red one. It's on a longer cord, so feel free. Let's talk about, because this is only day one. There's still two more days of sessions.
Right. We have people raise their hand if they presented today.
Okay, who raised your hand? Everybody on the listening got
this
that?
This is great for podcasting.
This is for organization purposes.
Oh, okay.
So we can go around the room.
So you organize us.
Okay. Didn't you present today? You did. We continue in the other room.
I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
You were the last.
I promise I'm listening now.
No, that's okay.
Oh, yeah. So
tell us about your presentation today.
My presentation was on mood boards, which is effectively sort of gaining stakeholder or client onboarding at a very early stage in a project when a client briefs, trying to get them on the same path or the same track creatively with you to be able to at least have the good workings to begin a project.
Okay, I'm going to interject. I'm going to let Lori talk about hers. We're bringing her over here because I have a story between the two of you. This is great.
I mentioned mood boards in my presentation. My name is Lori Collar, TLC Creative.
Married to?
You.
Best man in the world.
Well, no.
You've got a lot of editing to do.
You're so funny. So I did a presentation on collaboration. It was a lot of fun to put together and just encouraging people to think about the needs of everybody in the process, and we did talk about mood boards and talked about some of the problems, gave some case studies, and it was a lot of fun.
Okay, so here's my analogy. Rick, you're going to need a microphone because I'm going to call on you for a moment. So Lori's presentation was great. I didn't get to see it ahead of time. I think that was partially secretive. About halfway through, she goes, Troy, close your eyes. You're not allowed to know about this client scenario. I was like, okay, this is great. But afterwards, so Lori had mentioned that a lot of times we'll do, like in template designs, we'll actually create a version that we don't like so the client has something to say no to. Fingers always crossed they're going to say no to that one. Tom mentioned something else. He comes up with his mood boards where we take the schematic, which was brilliant, by the way. I've actually never done a mood board in that type of fashion. And he's like, then we'll create all of our concepting and we'll hand it off to the client. And Tom comes up and says, I hate this one, but you know, it checked off all the... It met all the marks for our mood board analysis, so we're going to give it to the client, let them make the decision. Afterwards, not during either one of your sessions, one of the gals that I was talking to said, it was so great to hear how they collaborate together. You know, because Lori said they design things for people to say no to, and Tom said, we design things that I don't like, and we're still going to give it to the client to decide on. I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this for, like, I mean, we're very much in an industry that thinks alike, that works alike, but is very independent. And then Rick had an even better comment, so I'm just going to brag about Lori right now, about how he was more impressed with your presentation design and animation than the actual maybe content.
Well, I was distracted by it because it was just so beautiful. I mean, the way she used Morph, I'd never seen done before. And then I was humbled and amused and embarrassed. Because I came up to her afterwards and said, you had that slide where you had the clients up there and you got rid of them and you did this by crumbling crumbling the slide down and letting it drop off the screen. How'd you do that? She goes, it's a transition. And I said, oh yeah, it's one of those transitions you should never use. But in this case, it was in context.
Yeah,
it's
like, sure. That's great.
So who's next? Steffi?
Glenna's next.
Oh, Glenna.
Glenna presented.
Yeah, I presented next to Tom. Could hear Tom.
We could hear Tom in the other room.
But the best story I have for mine is I actually, my session was on report collaboration. So I went to all the other sessions that were on collaboration, and I watched them in Lori's telling how to work with the people, you know, your clients and all the people you need to work with. Nolan and Eileen, the presenter and the designer working together. And then we come to my session, which was really showing you how to not have to work with anybody. Yeah. How to avoid working with anybody.
But it's all in an effort to control the style of the report.
It was mm-hmm. report collaboration. Yes. So if you have a whole bunch of sources, it showed you how to get your sources to put it all into one file without mucking up your report.
It was awesome.
That's good.
I went from Nolan and Eileen's presentation, which was about working with clients was about the designer and the presenter working together on the presentation and working against client goals and stuff. And then I went to Lori's and I go, I wish I'd seen these in the opposite order because it felt more like the flow would have been.
There is actually a structure. I talked to Rick Altman about that. He is not with us tonight. He is busy with all the other activities. And he did say he had made a concerted effort and collaboration was one of his overarching themes. So Nolan, you had a collaboration. So tell us about it.
Yeah. So I presented with somebody else for the first time. A dear old friend, like years and years and years old, friend Eileen Bergelson. She's not here now, but she's a speech coach and we know each other from our theater days. I actually directed her on stage. And so we gave one on the presenter-designer relationship and what each person needs to know from the other to get a good presentation product. And she played the role of presenter. I played the role of designer. We were seeing Lori talk and thinking, oh, well, we're going to cover some of that stuff, it seems like. And then Steffi, we said, oh, well, she's doing feedback. And we're also kind of talking about feedback. So there was a lot of Venn diagrams, I think, sort of overlapping. But it was good. It was good. As I said, the first time I've co-presented
you here. You supported one another's presentations. You collaborated. It appeared to be a collaboration.
But Eileen and I, or Steffi and I?
No, everybody.
Everybody.
I think in general. So you can have conversations like I heard the one about, you know, Lori's and Tom's conversation. It was great. So Steffi, tell us about yours, because it was phenomenal.
Interesting is that as I'm waiting to get to my time slot in the day, Cliff mentioned little nuggets that were actually part of my presentations this week, and then you and Eileen, Nolan, did the collaborative thing. I'm like, oh wow, this is just overlapping so great. So what I did today was a session that was the first half was you get a lot of slides that are so heinous looking.
I love that word when you say it.
You don't even know what to do with it because you have that instinctual 5 seconds of like, what the hell am I going to do with that? So then the first half was going over using different techniques to reframe the ideas and the content and how to come up with different options for designing the slides. And then the second half was spent talking about what happens when you give the beautiful slides that destroyed the babies that were sent to you to the presenters and they hate it because you took all their text away or anything like that. So, you know, we did a lot of give options, option one and two, give them exactly what they want in one option and then do your option and then just tell them why you did it and let them choose.
I need to interrupt. How do you define options or how do you put them on the slide for the client?
I do option one and option two. So,
but how do you label it on the slide?
Put like a rectangle on the square?
Oh, I have a little magenta rectangle up in the corner.
See, I think this is great because she does magenta. We always do what we call green box notes. I thought it was just great. Same exact concept, just a different working. Okay, Julie.
I do divider slides before and
Oh, okay. Oh, you really add to it.
So I'll give them option one will be a set of slides.
Uh-huh.
Option two.
I'll name it a theme. This comes from my ad agency days. Design A, and then it'll be product is hero, you know, or design B. So that when someone comes back to me, they always say, well, we like B, or, you know, we like the first one or the second one. I like them to be able to take ownership of what the style is, what the theme is, mm-hmm. and they come back
and
to me.
And I'm sure you're subtly guiding them with that language. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, the email you send back with it is option one is always the one they ask for and what I give them exactly what they ask for. And option two is mine. And then I say,
Option two is the one you should choose.
Yes. Option two, I did this because X, Y, Z, and this is going to make your content be more impactful, reach the audience, all that other stuff. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll choose option two. And then, you know, you have your other 10%.
I think there's something really interesting in the conversations that are happening here. And what it is that I've noticed, and I briefly touched on it in my session, was that we're creating the industry. So the presentation design industry is a relatively new industry by number of years. Certainly less it's certainly younger than print industry, animation graphics, web design, the rest. So it is
motion graphics.
Yeah. It is probably the newest industry in graphic design in the world, and is in its infancy in a relative sense. So what we're doing is working out best process and best practice, and so you already have relative best practice in print design. You have relative best practice in web design, and there are processes in place. And what the presentation design industry has the opportunity to do is pick and choose what best practices apply to our industry. And it's a new industry. And so we really collaboratively, and already we're sort of starting to hear that we do relative concepts, and we do, I mean, I think we're nitpicking when we're how we lay concepts out, but we're doing a couple of concepts on proof of concept maybe, and we're starting to do relatively base level designs to proof concept and to agree direction. And so what we're doing is forming best practice.
But I think they're organically forming because we're finding out that many of us have those same best practices. You use a green box, she uses a magenta box, you're exactly. Both finding option one, option, I mean, yeah.
But the concept of option one and option two, I don't think existed in the presentation design industry 10 years ago.
Oh, probably
I think
not.
People just said, turn these 20 slides into new
possibly.
20 slides as fast as you can.
Yeah, possibly.
However, the idea of giving the client an option or a mood board or something that you really don't like because you know they're going to throw that out, that's an old concept.
Absolutely. And that's picking and choosing from other industries. That's a concept that's come from the print industry. And so and what is happening organically is people are working out what are the best practices from other design industries and what comes together? What works as a holistic...
I think Tom just came up with his first contribution as a board member.
Oh!
I'm insulted you think that's my first.
Okay, going from Australia down to the UK, please fill us in on your session there.
Down to the UK.
Introductions first.
Yeah, down to the UK or Minnesota.
Well, I'm going with UK accents, sorry. Accents.
Do you want me to speak in a Minnesota accent or a UK accent?
Can you say Minnesota?
Minnesota?
No, God.
Minnesota.
No. Oh, close enough.
You're getting there, Jamie.
Jamie's going to introduce himself, but here's the sad thing. We live
the monkey dance in the corner.
We live 20 miles apart, and I haven't seen him for 2 years.
He's been very busy. Just tell us about what you just released today.
Yeah, I have to come a long way to meet you. So I think I gave a masterclass on how to deal with presentations and live demos that go wrong today.
It was phenomenal. Such grace under pressure. It was awesome.
No, it was
yeah, no, it was a good session, but my session was basically on how add-ins can make presentation designers more productive, and we talked about add-ins from Steve Rinsberg, so his Thor's Hammer, which is an excellent tool for...
Your photo for that was phenomenal, by the way. Thor Hammer photo, yeah.
I think I got that from Unsplash, actually. That was probably Richard's idea. But yeah, there was a good picture of Thor's hammer and copying the shape and position from a shape from one slide to another. Then we moved on to John Wilson's superb, absolutely pristine table animator. I love this tool. It's just superb. It's so cool. I mean, instead of just animating a table and bringing it in as a fade or a wipe, you can... animate the table by row, by column, by cell. It's just an awesome tool. I'm just in awe of what John's created on that thing. And then we kind of moved on to BrightSlide. So it's Bright Carbon's first foray into developing add-ins. And we did a demo of all sorts of stuff like creating guides, having your own animations in a library, all kinds of really, really cool stuff.
Is that something we can announce that people can download?
Oh, yes. Oh, maybe I should talk about
Live line spacing, if nothing else. Do you want to download it for that?
Table Painter.
Everything I talked about was free, including BrightSlide. And you can get it from brightcarbon.com/BrightSlide. So that's BRIGHTSLID. And there is a little bit of play on words if you know popular music. I'm coming out of my cage and I'm doing just fine.
This is phenomenal. It was actually a great session. I've done add-in sessions. and I've never actually gone through just this laundry list of examples. Of course, all mine always work, but it's... You are a victim to the Wi-Fi in this hotel. That is for certain. Yeah.
Can I pass along a little feedback to you, Jamie?
Live feedback here.
Someone came out of your session today and showed me a text she sent to her husband that said... And you might, I don't know if you're going to want to edit this later, but she said, honey, I think I just had multiple orgasms from watching this add-in session.
Well done, Jay.
My job is done. I'm going to leave the room now.
That's the first time that's happened for you, Jamie, right?
Jamie.
That's me getting you back.
Okay,
Tom,
now.
Tom, no.
Jamie, you have
Jamie
to.
Jamie has those skills. I think he should introduce himself properly so we know who he is.
Yes, thank you.
Because
you did not introduce yourself completely.
No.
Okay, my name is Jamie, or Jamie Garroch. For everybody who wants to know how to pronounce it, go to Scotland and learn how to say loch in a Scottish accent. It's loch. And I work for Bright Carbon.
Fantastic.
Great.
And that's a good transition to our next speaker from today.
I'm Richard, so work with Jamie, and I did a session on creating visual stories in PowerPoint. So getting rid of text and bullet points, working through lots of different examples. It's certainly interesting coming to a presentation conference full of presentation experts and talking about presentations, particularly the core of what we all do, which is getting rid of text and using visuals. But it was a good session. Lots of nice interactive kind of elements and engaging kind of exercises. Lots of different ideas. It's just a really nice creative community, a bit like Nolan's Entrepreneurs Roundtable session, just lots of people really wanting to go for it and making suggestions there. And different techniques, so quick tip things that you can do to be able to create content very quickly that works, all the way up to actually eliminating all of your text and coming up with a truly visual sequence, lots of visuals, lots of animations, all of that kind of stuff to get things going. It was good fun.
Can I just say, this is totally aside, but I admire your branding, your company's branding so much. It's consistent, it's strong, it's recognizable. And like Bright Slide is a no-brainer, but it's just as a name, but it's perfect for your brand. It's so kudos to you guys for that. It's awesome. I think you're one of the most recognizable brands out there.
We had a lot of fun with it.
Yes.
It was a long time in the making, but we've got a lot of really talented guys and
girls.
Can you
give us like two options that didn't make the cut?
Yeah. Which was the shit one?
Yeah. I'll take it.
The one that was in pastels. Yeah. But it's good fun, and everyone enjoys working on it, which is nice. It's really nice to come to things like this, or share with the guild, or our masterclasses and stuff that we run. Mm-hmm. And the team just really enjoys creating all of this kind of cool stuff that you can play around with. It's really good fun.
All right, Mike Parkinson, you presented today.
Yeah.
You want to give a proper introduction?
Today was super simple slide design, and it was basically two things, not just aesthetics, because, you know, make the slide simpler, but it's also how do I make slide design itself simpler. So we talked about tools, we talked about techniques, and really it was about making things more better, and that's the technical term. And we were figuring out what we could delete from a slide, and I was stealing shamelessly from the brilliant designers and people in the room. I totally stole stuff from Bright Carbon, totally stole stuff from Synapsis, totally stole stuff from Julie Terberg. And by the way, blown my mind, the whole conference was made by something Echo and Julie shared with me today. Echo Swimmer and Julie Terberg, they shared with me in their session about templates. They said, oh, by the way, if you save a .potx file, a PowerPoint template, users can accidentally switch the template using the variations. And if you're a PowerPoint geek, you know, holy poop, that is a big deal. And I didn't know that, which goes to show you, on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm like a 1.
Yeah.
Because the people in this room are absolutely amazeballs.
No, you're not.
Showed in super simple slide design were great. They were amazing.
Thank you.
And when you say simple, super simple slide design, I don't think you were just trimming slides down. You were also doing complex things that looked simple.
Yeah,
that's a really
core part of it. And you were showing people that you can access simple design really effectively.
Yes.
There was was a great quote that I never heard in some of the slides you showed. I forget who it was, but it said the most, what is it? The most complex thing is simplicity.
Yeah. The most complex skill is to be simple. It's Dejan Stojanovic, who is a Serbian poet. Pulled that out of my butt.
Simon.
Oh, yeah, Simon.
Hello, Simon Morton from Eiffel Presentations. I didn't present today, but I've been on the receiving end for the last sort of day and a half. And this is the first presentation summit I've been to in about 5 years. And
we're so glad to have you back.
And I probably described it best to Echo, where kind of like it was good to have the break, but now we need to get busy again. And it's been a really positive experience so far. And I don't know, maybe it's because I've had the break, but the quality of all of the sessions seems to have gone up by quite a grade over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really. Very valuable. You can always tell when it's a positive thing, where you're debating which of the sessions to go to. And if you could split yourself into two or three, you would, because there's so much good stuff being shared. So sticking around for Wednesday when we get the encore sort of sessions, I think is going to be absolutely key. But yeah, cracking experience, and more again, please.
Awesome. All right, Julie, just to talk a little bit, and then we have to talk about some people who are not here. We should talk about today's keynote.
Yes.
So Julie just introduced.
So Julie Terberg and Echo and I did the template talk part one this morning, which was beginner level topic about template building. And then right after that, I was booked for an hour on makeovers, which I don't know if this is year number 7, 8, 9 doing makeovers for the conference. But this year I changed it up a little bit. And one of the makeovers I delivered was a makeover of a makeover.
A makeover of a... Wait, what does that mean?
I did a makeover of a makeover. It was spurred by a Twitter conversation between one of our guild members, TJ Katapis. Katapsis.
TJK,
And TJ and Tony Ramos, another board member. And there was a makeover of the WeWork pitch deck from 2014 done by an online presentation company called Beautiful AI.
Whom we've interviewed.
And Beautiful AI's makeover used about 11 point text for their...
Right, that was the sad part about it.
So, and they also had their AI math, their math doesn't work because their donut charts were not plotted correctly. They were missing direct labeling. They were missing a lot of things from... So I, the first time ever, part of my session was a makeover of a makeover.
Ooh.
And that was fun. But I also did one slide makeover for a patron, and that got a lot of applause at the end because it was kind of fun. It was a lot of work.
Well, Julie, are you going to post your makeover of a makeover?
I am. Good. Those are going to be available for patrons.
Perfect. Perfect. No, I'm talking social media.
No.
Okay.
Well, that was definitive. Echo, can you contribute anything about your co-tag team session?
Template workshop is weird. It's not weird. It's a lot of fun. And Julie and I, you know, we spend a lot of time working it out before, and then we get up there and we have to be very careful not to talk over one another. I think we were very successful at that this year. Yeah.
So here's a question for both of you, because everybody in this room, okay, I'll just generalize. We've all designed templates, and the core structure of a template really hasn't changed in a number of years. But yet your session is still the one that I don't want to be against because it is so highly attended.
Mm-hmm. Standing room only.
Too. Yeah.
It is so difficult to understand PowerPoint templates as a novice. Mm-hmm. It's a very complex thing to do right. That I think that's why we had, and with 60-some% new first-time attendees here at the conference, I think that shows you how difficult PowerPoint and Microsoft has made it to create really good templates. It's a tough thing.
And did you two decide, or how do I want to say this? Did you two recommend that the template workshop be in two parts? Because I think it's brilliant that you have a novice level. Here's the core elements. And I'm assuming tomorrow will be, or is it tomorrow? Anyways, in the next few days, you're going to have the advanced level one.
This was actually, it's interesting that you ask that, because this was actually driven by the cert prep workshop. I did that all day Saturday, and we didn't want to do a two-hour workshop crash course on Sunday right after. I need a little bit of a break.
Okay, folks, we'll just edit that out. They masterminded the whole idea. They thought it was brilliant for everybody.
But we've been talking about that anyway, and Rick thought it was a good time to bring it into the conference, and because, you know, you don't get a two-hour slot in the conference, we divvied it up. But that makes it easier on us, because honestly, that template workshop is so difficult. We have people who come in year after year after year and who have attended like every one of our template workshops. They come to get their template on. That's awesome. They are stellar at it. They are good at it. They know everything we're going to say, and that's okay. But we're also trying to hit things that will resonate with those people and remind them of what they need to know. But then we also have the first timers who are coming in and maybe need something a little less advanced than that for at least their first round. So hitting both of those, bringing into the main session, was a really good thing, I think.
I think it's phenomenal, because I've actually had feedback from people that attended the Sunday crash course and just said that was overwhelming. So first of all, you're including it for everybody, which I think is stellar. And two, you wrote the book on the whole topic. So that's like a phenomenal.
It is being updated. Please be patient with us.
We have to have lives. Okay.
Can you go on the record and give us a date for publication of the new version?
So somebody who's not in the room was the keynote speaker this morning, Cliff Atkinson. Troy,
keynote ever. It was so good. And it's someone who works with legal presentations. I aspire to have cases like his. It was just, they're awesome.
So for those of you who don't know Cliff, he wrote pretty much the first book on presentation and PowerPoint,
it was
right?
After Presentation Zen, but it was? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But one of the, one of the more influential ones beyond bullet points. Yeah. And it's had multiple reversions, I think, for...
It's on the fourth one, yeah.
Fourth edition. So he opened the conference officially with a keynote, and then also gave a session later in the day.
His session was also stellar. He has promised to actually join us during the next few days, and we're going to have a little conversation.
I was going to ask, because we have not had him on.
Yeah, we actually have a history. He's like, now, when did we meet? So we actually met before PPT Live, when everybody got to know him, before he had released his first book, we met.
Wow.
So
I met Cliff back when we were writing and speaking at the Presentations Conference for Presentations Magazine.
Oh, my goodness, that's phenomenal.
So it was around 2000, 2001.
You're so old. I know.
Oh my goodness, thank goodness we're audio only. So anyways, we will be hearing more from Cliff, but he did have a pin drop audience I'm going to say is one of the best general session opening events that I've heard. And it was great, not only to get his history, but just to hear story crafting in that way. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. Hey, we have to kind of wrap up here, because there's another event happening fairly soon, and we have a lot of wine that you have to take with you. Sandy Nolan, you want to close us out for today, this evening? We're going to have more people over. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. We're going to have more people joining us. We're going to do a couple more conversations. You'll hear about them over the next several months. And you guys close us out.
All right. So that closes out day one officially, or day three, depending how you count. Of the presentation summit. And as Troy said, we'll be back more. And we didn't even get into the sessions we'll all be giving tomorrow and Wednesday. So.
Yes. No. Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for being here. We couldn't be doing what we do without you.
Thank you for letting us hang out and drink your wine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is a good thing. Nolan, I had this funny story, actually, before we close. Has this occurred to you? Somebody walked to me and said, you're Troy Collar. I recognize your voice.
People. Yes. And I think actually, we really should know, we should be name checking here, but a few people have attended, I think, pushed on by us through the podcast.
Yeah, we've made it. I'm not sure how I feel about the whole scenario, but I thought it was pretty cool that we actually have listeners.
Yeah.
Troy, I had people recognize my voice from this podcast, and I'm not all about
I love it. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, faces. Everybody sit down and look that way.
Put down your phones.
I'll kneel.
Thank you for organizing and orchestrating. Thank you.
Episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.